Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul. And today we have, one of my favorite co-hosts, Tom Campbell. We haven't talked for a couple months. Well, I guess it's just been two. The last one, boy, it really created a lot of interesting thoughts.
Yes, it did, it seems.
It really did. And I, you know, since then, I still see people kind of say, you know, what difference does it make? I'm going to be healthy and it's okay. And I guess I don't really understand. Because, of course, there are lots of people that are healthy, but there's also people that are healthy that, I mean, we just had a fellow that was in the hospital for 187 days. I mean, it's a scary thing. Yeah. And we don't really know what can happen, but we do know that the masks can help us not to spread if perhaps we had it and we had no symptoms, which is quite clearly a problem.
Yeah, the masks are very helpful, and right? Distancing is still very helpful. Those two things are about the biggest things you can do to help slow the spread of this disease. Now, neither one are perfect, but what they do is that they lower the probability that you will spread it or that you will get it.
Right.
And there really isn't anything, you know, else you can do. Those are the two things. You can stay away from people, or when you're around people, you can cover up your nose and mouth so that you don't launch the little water particles that carry the disease around.
Right.
I mean, it's just all that simple.
It's not evil to suggest that we do this.
What happened, I think, we had this little talk last time. And, of course, the conclusion that I came to and that I said probably at least a dozen times during the last thing is that people who take the attitude, well, it's not hurting me any, so why should I be bothered? And why should it be crimping my life and hurting my business when, you know, we can do all this? That was just a very self-centered position to take. It's all about me. And if it's okay for me, then I really don't care about other things.
Right.
Other things are not my problem. And that is a self-centered viewpoint. And a whole lot of people out there in listener land didn't like being tagged as self-centered.
No.
They really objected to that being self-centered.
Yeah.
And well, it is what it is. You know, if the shoe fits, you got to wear it.
Unfortunately.
You know, I read one that was actually very polite and very nice and said, it's just not nice for you to, you know, call all of us people who just disagree with you self-centered. And, you know, we should get back to business as usual and use other methods other than mask and distancing to protect older people. Yeah, we care about older people, but we just don't want to use mask or distancing or, you know, interfere with the system. But they never said what other methods. You see, there are no any, you know, there aren't any other methods. If you spew out, you know, COVID-19 on water droplets, there's only a few ways to not do that. And that's that, one, you're not around other people, so they fall on the ground. And two, you put a barrier up between you and other people so that it doesn't get you so much and doesn't get them.
Right.
Not perfect, because sometimes a little water droplets could come out here at the top of the mask or down here under the mask, but you're not just spewing them out. You're catching maybe 80-90% of them. And same with coming in. Yeah, you could suck in few down through the top of your mask or other places. The masks are not airtight around your face, but it eliminates a very large percent of the risk. And I don't know. It just seems pretty straightforward that if you really don't care about other people, you fall into the category of self-centered. And I'm sorry, you know, if that hurts, but it's just, I don't know any other way to phrase it.
Yeah. And unfortunately, here in Canada, we've started our second wave. I don't know. I think you guys might have started it early. You seem to be calming down a wee bit. We're kind of getting well.
Well, yes.
It's all comparable, but yeah.
We started our second wave, which was, you know, twice as large as the first wave.
Right.
And now that second wave started to quiet down until it was just about at the peak of the first wave, and then it started back up again.
Yeah.
So that's because school started.
Yeah.
And though a lot of people are going to school, you know, virtually, they're not actually physically going to school, probably half or more, but there are those that can't do that. Both parents work. The child's only, you know, 7 years old, and you're not going to leave them home by themselves, you know, to go to school. That's not going to work. So it's, you know, there are issues that people have to take some risk because that's the price they have to pay for, say, having two people both working.
Right.
And if that's necessary, you know, to hold things together financially, then those people are stuck. So there's a lot of stuckies, single parent families. You know, they can't necessarily stay home from their job and work and supervise a child that's supposed to be you know, doing schoolwork. So I can see there are a lot of problems here. People will have to go and do these things and take the risks to go with them. And the statistics are showing that. You know, the statistics started to uptick and there's more people getting the disease and more people spreading the disease because... You know, a lot of people are between a rock and a hard place. They need to go to school or to work or to wherever it is, you know, they have to go to. So it's just life. It's the way it is. But at least they're doing it at a minimum. They are trying as best they can to help not spread the disease, not to, you know, kill other people because they spread a disease that ended up causing somebody to die. So I can't fault them for being between a rock and a hard place and, you know, and doing the best they can with that. And that's why we're seeing the little blip up.
Yeah.
It's very understandable and it's just something we'll have to live with. That's not the problem. The problem is when people are just very haughty in their idea, well, why me? It doesn't affect me. And if other people get sick and die, not my problem. That's self-centered. It's not the people who have to go out because that's the way their life is. Well, you know, we have to put up with that. That's part of life. Sometimes people do have to go out and do things, and they do have to take more risks. And we accept that. We accept that. But it's hard to accept people who are just too self-centered to really care that much about other people.
Well, we're doing something interesting in one of our provinces. They've gone on code red, which means starting October 1st, they're going to put everybody back into their homes and close all the businesses that have anything to do with the public, except they're going to keep the schools open, even though it's like, wait, what? you're gonna make everybody else stay at home, but you're going to let the kids go to school
and bring the disease home
right.
To expose the people who have to stay home. Yeah.
Yeah, just
a little bit of a mixed message, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah. It's very strange. Everything's very strange. So I thought this month we would try it. Now, I know you've done a lot of, recently you've been doing a lot of healing workshops. So you come in and people remotely, virtually come in and we do some healing workshops, which is really good. I'd like to talk about maybe some of the healing workshops that you have coming up. I know you're also part of another program that does a monthly payment. We can talk a little bit about that. But I'd also like to talk about, I think now that we're in eighth month, I mean, people are stressed. What can we do for our stress? I mean, I'm thinking that falls under the healing bit, but people are just so stressed and they've been doing a lot of work outside. Like there's a lot of things that are going on I mean, I know Hay House did a huge thing on stress. I mean, it's just what, yes, we know stress is a very challenging thing. And there's still people that say that there's certain stressors that, you know, have, that are good for us because they push us to do things. And but I think that's a different stress than we're talking about.
That's a different kind totally of stress, different stress altogether.
Yeah. So let's talk about a little bit about what's going on and what we can do. But talk about your healing stuff, because I think that's a good thing that you're always
well,
part
we'll,
of.
We'll talk about healing and stress. And healing and stress, you know, are connected. Mm-hmm. Those are two, you know, two things are not separate and independent. Those things are very, very strongly connected to each other. Yes, the stress that urges you on to do bigger and better things is a whole different stress. That's the stress that you, it's not really a stress. That's just you pushing yourself to learn more, you know, to study harder, to broaden your horizons, you know. And that's not a stress of, oh, no, that's a stress of, great, do it. This is, you know, a good thing. So it's a very positive, you can think of positive and negative stress. Well, it's the negative stress is what we really call stress. Those positive things aren't really so stressful. Yes, we push ourselves a little harder so that we, you know, run a little faster when we go out and jog, or we, you know, do things better. We improve ourselves. We take courses, but that's not negative stress. Now, if we take that course to better ourselves, and then we worry a lot about passing it or about, you know, other things, now that's negative stress. So those two can be mixed, a mixed bag too. But that negative stress is the stress that you are doing things, having to do things, having to, I don't know, connect, interact, embrace things that you don't want to, that are, you know, unpleasant, that are negative. You don't like the situation. You don't like the relationship, but you have to keep entering with it at all. Maybe you go to work and you don't like some of the people that are working. Maybe you don't like your boss, but you have to go anyway because that's how you get paid. And you need to get paid to get along. So then all that creates stress, but that's negative. You doing things you don't want to do, you doing things you don't like to do, you doing things that you think are the are not what you would rather do. You know, if you had that genie that gave you an infinite number of wishes, you know, you wouldn't do these things. You'd stop. And that's very different than learning and growing and pushing yourself a little to improve your game. So those kinds of stresses are the things that weigh us down. And they are connected to health, because when your body is under a lot of stress, your immune system doesn't work very well. There's a real strong connection between stress and a dysfunctional immune system. When your immune system's dysfunctional, you'll catch a lot of, you'll be sick. You'll have a lot of illnesses. Now, that's just one area where stress is a problem physically. The other area is that stress will create all kinds of aches and pains. Mm-hmm. I've heard it said by some physicians that something like 80 to 90% of all back aches, back, you know, lower back pain, shoulder pain, neck pain, is the stress. So stress, and the theory there, and I don't know whether this is true or not, the theory there is that stress causes the muscles to knot up. You know, they bunch up into little hard knots that are painful. And when they do that, it causes this pain. So that stress then is transferred into a physical thing, which is a knot in your muscles, which then causes you pain. Back pain, shoulder pain, neck pain are kind of typical, but headaches and everything else as well. So a lot of our illnesses are stress related. They're not, you know, you'll go to a doctor and the doctor will look at it and he'll give it a long name that's mostly Latin, and he'll give you some pills and other kinds of things, and they'll call it something and give you a reason why you got it, maybe. But most of that's really stress. There's nothing more to it than stress. And if you didn't have all that stress, you'd feel better, be healthier, and be a lot happier. So stress is one of the big causes of negativity, both in our emotional life, our spiritual life, and our physical life. All three of those things degrade a lot when you have a lot of stress.
Yeah, I would say that almost every major illness comes from stress. I mean,
yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah,
I would agree with that. Now, on the opposite side of that, if you are positive, if you have a very positive attitude, see, stress that we're talking about, this stress is negative. It's the negative stuff. On the other hand, if you're positive and you have a very positive attitude toward things, you're one of these people who just sees the silver lining in every dark cloud. You know, you're an optimist, you're positive, life is good, and tomorrow's going to be even better. And that's just the way you go through every day. And as things happen that aren't necessarily, happy things for you, you just accept it and you go on and say, well, that's the way it is. And here's how I'm going to deal with it. And you go right on. You don't stop and get angry and upset and annoyed and blame other people. And, you know, you don't go through all that's where all the stress is. So people who are generally positive are generally healthy. They're generally happy. They don't have backaches and headaches and all that sort of thing. When everybody in their family gets the flu, they, for some reason, just don't get it because their immune systems are strong and they don't need any of that. They're not, that catching that flu is often just an expression of a person's negativity in stress. So it's not all just physical and immune system. Part of it is you create your own reality with your intent. To some extent. Now, you don't create it perfectly. Obviously, you interact with other people. They're creating their reality too. But you do create it in some ways. And if you're happy with a positive outlook, then you will have a very positive, healthy, happy life. Unfortunately, these positive people are kind of rare. There's not a lot of positive people out there walking around. Most everybody's kind of a sad sack and unhappy and miserable and angry and upset and annoyed with other people who they disagree with. Everything in our society is now, everything. I mean, all the major ideas and competing ideas are all polarized. So now instead of just, oh, we disagree, well, let's discuss that. Maybe each one of us will learn something. It's, oh, you disagree? Oh, you're one of them. Now you're ready to fight because it's, they're on one pole and you're at the other pole. So those are the people you don't like. Those are the fools and the dumb people and the ignorant people. And you're the people you do like, people who agree with you. And those are the smart people and the wise people. And everybody feels like that, no matter what side they're on. Everybody sees themselves as part of the smart people and the good people. And they see whoever's on the other side as the bad people, the problem. They're the ones creating the problem. So there's plenty of stress for everybody, no matter which pole you sit on, it seems to be stressful these days. So what do we do about stress? What can we do about this thing? Well, the key idea is to stop being so negative and be more positive. How do we do that? We have to accept things the way they are. We have to stop letting control, power, and force be the motivator in our life. Those things are all wrapped around fear. It's because of that fear and ego and belief that you want to control things, make things come out the way you want them to come out. To make your children act and do the way you want them to make your spouse act and do the way you want them to make your boss and all your coworkers act and do the way you want them to do. So you want people to be the way you want them to be, and you try to manipulate, you try to tell them things that'll make them be that way. You're clever at what you say and what you don't say. You're clever with your own image so that your image helps you. And, you do all this because it's basically constantly a control power force game that you're playing. You want to control. If you have power, then you can control And you have a certain amount of force in that. Well, if you're a parent, you can tell the children what to do. You know, if you're, you know, if it's your spouse that's the problem, well, I guess you could get upset, or you could scream, or you could cry, or you could make demands, or you could just be quiet, give them the silent treatment. You know, these are your weapons. This is your force to exert your control through your power. So control, power, force. And most people go through their life playing a game of control, power, and force about everything and everybody. And all that does is create negativity and stress. So if you can change that attitude of control, power, and force to acceptance, people are the way they are, and accept them that way. Take responsibility. Don't blame other people for your problems and for issues. You make choices. Your anger is your choice to get angry. It's not that somebody makes you angry. Nobody makes you make any choices. You have free will. You make all your own choices. So if you just change your perspective on life, you don't have to change your job. You don't have to change your spouse. You don't have to change your children. You don't have to change, you know, the car you drive or the house you live in. You don't have to change any of those things. You just have to change your perspective of how you see yourself and other people. And if you just see everybody as, you know, everybody's trying to do the best they can with whatever they've got to work with. And if you figure that is just the way it is, and you accept people, you deal with things with grace and with caring. And when you do that, suddenly all that anger and upset and annoyance just disappears, because all that stuff is there because you're living control, power, force. And that doesn't do anything to help you. You think, oh, yeah, well, if I had control, power, and force, if I were the master of the universe and everybody had to listen to me, I'd be so happy. And you wouldn't be. You'd be so miserable. Control, power, force doesn't make you happy. It's not the way you succeed in anything. It's the thing that makes you fail in relationships. When you, when you approach a relationship with control, power, force, you will fail in that relationship. If you, approach your job, or, jobs are relationships. Bosses are relationships. Coworkers are relationships. Just like spouses and children, most everything you do centers on relationships. And control, power, and force just kills relationships. So if the relationships aren't good, then your coworkers and you aren't so good. And your family and you is not so good. It's just the way things are. And the more you have control, power, and force, the more you kind of work yourself into a corner. You have fewer choices, fewer options. You work yourself into a corner, and from that corner, you're polarized now with everybody that disagrees with you. They're all wrong. They're the problem, and you're the one that's right. Poor thing, and you suffer, and everybody else, does things that make you suffer, and you have to clean up all the messes. You have to take care of all the things, and at work, people do things that just don't work, and you have to clean up that too. You're just constantly trying to make things work and help people out and make them see that if they just did whatever you wanted, everything would be fine. And of course, we don't think of it that way. We don't think of it, if you just do what I want, everything would be fine. That's the truth. But we don't think of it that way. We think, well, I know the right way. And if you just did it the right way, everything would be fine. But of course, our way is the right way. By definition, in all sides, they're, in all sides, from all directions, on all poles, the people that are on those directions and poles, every one of them thinks that their way is the right way. Right. And we don't have conversations anymore with people. We're stuck living our own little bubble with the people who agree with us, and we dislike everybody else. That's a very high stress way to live. If you think like that, then you're going to be unhappy. You're going to be stressed. You're going to have aches and pains. You're going to get the flu, you're going to catch things, you know, it's just the way your life is. You make yourself miserable with that. So accept things that they are just the way they are, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that you accept, you know, what is it? It's not Pollyanna, you know, oh, everything is just fine, you know. I don't care. They're going to repossess my house next week, and that's okay.
It's divine. It's all divine.
Yeah.
Everything's perfect. It doesn't matter what happens.
Yeah. That's not what I'm saying. You know, that's not the point. And the point isn't that you have to pretend that you're happy and put on a fake smile and you know, be nice to each other, being pretending and putting on fake smiles. That's not part of the solution either. That's not it. And it's not a ignore everything that, you know, pretend that everything's okay and ignore everything that isn't. No, you can still, you know, look at the, you know, the causes you have. You know, you think, you know, global warming's a bad thing or pollution's a bad thing, or you think global warming's a good thing, you know, whatever it is, wherever you are on these polls. Well, sure, go ahead and talk to people and have conversations. Just don't have them with the idea that you're the only one that has anything important to say and everybody else needs to agree with you. Accept other people and their choices and their opinions and be okay with that. So I'm not saying you have to pretend it's all okay and ignore things. Go interact. Tell people what you think. Be real. Be authentic, because that's required too. If you're not authentic, you're not going to be stress-free. Trying to be somebody else is very stressful. Being authentic is a key thing. So go be authentic, but don't be demanding. Don't see that it has to be your way. You know, there's only two ways to do anything. There's my way and then there's wrong way. Mm-hmm. You know, and if that's your attitude about most of the things in your life, then you're creating most of the problems in your life with that attitude.
I always liked the saying, don't sweat the small stuff, and everything's small stuff. I mean, everything that we're going through in the last, you know, 6 to 7 months, it's caused a lot of stress. There's been financial stress. There's been physical stress. I mean, emotional stress. People are depressed. It's your perspective, just like you said.
Perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's another old saying that's always kind of interesting, and that is that, you know the things that you can change and know the things that you can't change and have the wisdom to know which is, you know, which are which. That's just part of a longer little saying that people have, but I think that would be helpful to most people. You know, if other people have a different opinion than you, then put that in a category of things you can't change. Or if you try to change them only very gently. Offer another opinion, but don't be pushy. Don't feel like you're right, they're wrong, you're smart, they're stupid. You know, don't get out of that polarized space and get into a friendly space. And yes, if your boss is the way your boss is and your coworkers the way they are and your spouse and children the way they are, then try just accepting them. That is the way they are. Let them be the way they are. They have to make choices and learn from those choices just like everybody else. You're not the one to help them out and fix their life by telling them how to live and what to do and how to do it. You know, just let them figure it out on their own. Give them support. Give them caring. Don't try to usurp their free will by explaining to them the right way to do things and the way you want them to do things. Now, with small children, of course, that's a little different thing. But with older children who are old enough to make their own choices and with adults, you have to learn just to let people be who they are and get down off your own high horse and meet people, you know, at least halfway with things. So that would get rid of a lot of the stress. Yes, there's stress of jobs and there's stress. Nobody's making as much money as they used to make because all the economy has slowed down because people can't wad up in places and make each other sick and then take that sickness home to their parents and their grandparents and, you know, everybody else. So yes, we have a little hard time now to get through. But
Could be worse.
Even hard times are not a reason to go to be negative.
Right.
You have to accept those hard times as, okay, this is difficult, and we'll try to get through it. And if we don't get through it, well, there's always a plan B. And if that doesn't work out, then, you know, we'll end up somehow, you know, getting through this. And we will somehow get through this. Everybody will, just not the way they wanted to. They wanted to do it differently, but that's not what's going on. So
no,
rather than stress.
They wanted to keep it the same.
Yes, they wanted to keep it the same, and this isn't what they wanted. Right. And that causes them a tremendous amount of stress because, damn it, they want what they want, and they should have what they want. And that's, of course, just ego. That's just self-centeredness. It's all about me, and I deserve what I want, you know, that sort of thing. And just take what you have and deal with it in a positive way. I mean, even if you end up having to get in a soup line to get something to eat, or even if you have to, you know, go down to the local, you know, rescue mission or something that, you know, Meals on Wheels or whatever it is. Well, if that's where you are, then deal with that. Things will change. It's not like this is going to be, you know, the rest of your life. Everything will change. No, it may never be the way it used to be. It's gone off in a different direction now. So try to see that as an adventure rather than as a problem. Now see what we're going to do. And you can do that if you have this idea that life is an adventure, a sometimes really hard adventure. Sometimes, you know, it rains and just won't quit. But eventually the sun comes out and things will be better. And not be, you know, they won't be the same, probably, but they'll be better. And then they'll be better than that and better than that. And eventually, almost always, you'll end up in a place that's better than you've ever been before. And people have that sense, now this is going downhill, the rest of my life is going to be trash, you know. But that's just negativity talking. That's just self-pity talking. Almost always, give it enough time, give it a year or 2 years or 5 years, and you'll probably be in a space better than you've ever been before, better than that place that you were before the hard times. It generally works that way. And if you're positive, it always works that way. That's a guaranteed result that you're going to end up someplace better. If you're negative, it still usually works that way, but sometimes not, because that negative creates more negativity. The more negative you feel, the more negative your life will be, the more negative things that will happen to you. If you live in a negative space, you draw negativity to yourself. Things just don't work out for you. If you're positive, things just do work out for you. So you can see this stress thing. The stress is really the source of a whole lot of other things that are the problems. Pain, ill health, you know, feeling grumpy, you know, not getting along with other people, having poor relationships, you know, having poor relationships in your family, with your kids, with spouses, with neighbors, with in-laws, you know, with those kinds of things, and at work. Your life just gets unhappy and miserable if you don't have a positive attitude. Accept things, not through gritted teeth and pretending that you're happy when you're not. That won't help. That'll just make you more miserable in the end. But by just changing your perspective and how you see things, that's the key. Change your perspective of how you see things. Let the control, power, force thing go and think, you know, well, how can I make the best of this? How can we just get by? All right, maybe you'll have to sell your boat. Maybe you'll have to move and sell your house, you know. Who knows? There may be all kinds of things that will happen. But most of that will all take care of itself. And if you're positive, you'll still end up doing fine. Everything will be all right. You don't need that house or that boat anyway to be happy. That's not what makes you happy. You know, it's not the stuff that makes you happy. So you lose a lot of stuff. You can't afford much, then that's okay. You can still be happy. Mm-hmm. You can still be positive. You don't need a lot of stuff to be positive, but we kind of think we do. But that's just the wrong perspective. Again, change your perspective and your life will change from one of struggle to one of satisfaction. It isn't any, you know, more difficult than just changing your perspective. Now, changing your perspective may be difficult for you. If you've been locked in that perspective for years, changing it is going to be, you know, it's going to take some work on your part. But if you can change your perspective, then you'll change your whole life. And most of those aches and pains will just disappear. You won't have them anymore. You won't catch the colds, even when people around you do. You will be happy when they're full of self-pity and woe is me and angry and arguing and fussing about this and that. And you'll just won't be upset at all. You'll be fine. So at that point, even the people who are negative can't bring you down. Even if you live in a culture and in a world like we do that is full of negative stuff, full of greedy, not nice people everywhere, lots of self-centered people out there doing self-centered things that hurt other people, lots of those people. But even that, living in a world like that, doesn't bring you down. You realize that those people are doing the best they can with what they've got, and they have to learn lessons, and that they represent us. They represent humanity. That's just the way we are. A lot of us are very negative. A lot of us, you know, are very self-centered. And being angry at that's like being angry that it rains because you want the sun to shine, you know, or being angry that it's, you know, cold enough you have to wear a sweater. I mean, that's silly to be angry that people are just the way they are. You know, that's the way they are. So once you accept that, even living in a very harsh, competitive, often not nice and ugly world, it's still not a downer. You can still be happy. Even when you have to deal with those people, work with those people, have those unhappy people in your family, you still can be happy. You see, it doesn't depend on other people. Your happiness comes from what's inside you, not from your environment, not from how much stuff you've got, not from other people. It comes from you. So if you're not happy, you're the only one that can fix that. And you don't need any money or new relationships or new children or new spouses or new jobs to do it. You can do it right where you live right now. And if your living standard is slip-sliding away because COVID has hurt you, you have to be positive with that too. Accept it. Say, how can I deal with this in a positive way? Rather than be upset and annoyed that things have changed and you don't want them to change. That's self-centered. I don't want them to change. You know, it's all about what you want and what you don't want. Well, you got to accept things just the way they are. It is what it is. Now, how can you deal with it positively rather than how can I change it and make it be the way I want it? That's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong perspective. It's not how can you change things and make them more the way you want them, which is where most people are. It's accepting things and how can I make this positive? What can I learn from this? You know, well, how can I do with this? How can this be a positive thing? What's important here? And you'll find the stuff's not important. And actually the control power for stuff is just the stuff that gets in the way and makes everything unhappy and negative. So it's not that hard to do. Just have to change your perspective, and even a terrible situation will become something that's okay. You can get through it. You can come out the other side better than, you know, than when you started. So that's the good news. You know, people can do something about it. They're not locked into it. They only think they're locked into it. They have choices. They just don't know that they have those choices. You can choose to be happy. You can choose to be angry. Those are just choices. And pretend? No, we're not talking about pretending. I don't mean you can choose to pretend to be happy even when you're not. That's not it. But you can actually choose to be happy. It's just a perspective. So attitude, stress, health, and happiness are all wrapped up in a ball together. You know, you have to unwind all of that and see it kind of for what it is, accept it for what it is, and be as positive as you can with it. Then everything gets better.
Yeah. You want to talk about your healing circle or your healing?
Well, it's not so much mine as it is Donna's. True. It's really Donna's MBT events. Mm. Go to mbtevents.com and you will find a lot of things about that. But Donna and Keith, who run MBT events, do a couple of things. One, they have a healing, what's called a healing circle, which is where if you have a problem, some physical ailment of some sort, or mental ailment of some sort, whatever, you can go to them, you know, email, and tell them what your problem is. And a group of healers, or people, some are learning to be healers, others have been healing for decades and decades and are very, very good at it. They will sit down regularly and just heal people on their list. Nice. So that's one thing. And Donna calls that the outpouring. That's the outpouring of good, positive energy to people who need good, positive energy. So that's the one thing. And then, besides that, Donna has scheduled events that are online that you can log in. It's a Zoom thing. You go to Donna's Zoom place, and it's a kind of a group session, sort of like the healing circle, except these are people from all over at all sorts of levels. Some are healers, some are not. Some just want to participate. And instead of focusing on a list of people who are ill, we focus on the world in general. We focus on the planet. We focus on, you know, that everybody have, you know, clean water and you know, good food to eat, that sort of thing. So it's a general, not focused at individuals' health, but at the health of our society, health of our, you know, of our nations, the health of our world. Big picture things. Just raise the positiveness in the world a little bit with love and caring and compassion for everyone. So this is kind of the big picture. And Donna does this at least once a month, maybe every couple of weeks. I enjoy it. It's fun. Because when you go to one of these and you spend 20 minutes, and I think three times during the day, it's kind of an all-day thing, but three times during the day, they take out 20 minutes and everybody just has a positive intent for whatever they want. You know, it could be for global warming to turn around and cool off a little bit. It could be just COVID-19, you know, that less people will get it. It could be, peace in the world and not so much fighting and arguing and struggling, but more cooperation, those sorts of things worldwide. And after you've spent 20 minutes just pouring out that positiveness, that love, that caring, that peace, that tranquility, you feel really, really good. So at the end of the 20 minutes, everybody's kind of smiling and everybody feels happy because everybody has spent a lot of time giving, giving, and giving gives back. Taking takes away. So, you know, yeah, don't ask, you know, what can I get? Ask, how can I help? So when you spend 20 minutes with a lot of strong intentions that are positive, you can't help but be more positive by the time you're done. So, and it's a really fun thing and rewarding thing to do. And it does work because your intentions modify future probability. And yes, the world's a big place. And yes, you know, whatever, there maybe 50, 60, 70, 80 people, you know, that's a small number of people compared to the 7.5 billion of us. But still, it has an effect. It helps people feel more positive. It helps people be less negative. And every little bit helps. So if enough people do it, it'll be even more powerful. But that's no excuse for you not to do it. You know, you can't say, well, what's the point of me? I'm small. You know, it's like, why vote, right? I'm just one person. Why vote? No, it's your responsibility. Go out and vote. If you live there in that country, then you have a responsibility to go vote. It's not the self-centered thing. Well, it won't make any difference for me. Well, if you're self-centered and it's only about you, then you know you have that opinion. But basically, you're trying to make your voice heard. Not that your voice is going to change anything, but you still have to make your voice heard. And it's the same with this healing. If you have a positive intent, then you can help the whole world get more positive. It will change things. A little bit at a time. It helps. So, yeah, go to MBT Events. It's mbtevents.com. And go attend one of these things. I highly recommend it because you'll feel really good afterwards. And you'll meet a lot of really nice people. These are people who are positive, people who have something to give, not just interested in what they can take. So you'll get the kind of the cream of the crop of humanity that you get to hang out with, and you get to spend some time giving. So it's a really nice thing that I encourage people to go participate in. And Donna's healing group's not the only healing group or healing circle. There's literally hundreds and hundreds of those everywhere. You know, you probably have 3 or 4 of them even in your own community. You know, you just find out where they are, who they are. And as you need other people's positive intents to help you get through a hard time, an illness or something, well, then reach out to them. They can be very, very effective. And if you have enough positiveness left over, join one of those groups. Even if you don't really know how to heal, you'll learn there. They'll tell you what to do. It's simple. It's just positive intent modifies future probability. It's just that simple. So all you have to do to join and be part of the team that's healing is just have a positive intent to do that. That's all it takes. Your positive intent will modify future probability. So yeah, go join a healing team. Wouldn't that be nice if, you know, a couple of billion people were involved in, healing circles? That would be really nice.
It would.
Because not only do the people who are their subjects feel better, but they feel better. You feel better when you do those things. It helps you stay more positive. So as you heal other people, you heal yourself. It just always works that way. When you're positive to other people, then your relationships with those other people get real positive, and they tend to, you know, give back. If your attitude is, you know, what's in it for me? How can I use this? How can I manipulate this to be the way I want it? Then what you get back is other people trying to manipulate you to be the way they want you. Yeah. So what is that? You reap what you sow, something like that. Karma.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to start a new topic because
there's only 2 minutes left.
Well, this has been a great show.
It's been a lot of fun, and I don't know if it's going to help people, but I hope it does. I mean, it's hard to change your perspective.
It is.
You have to change yourself to change your perspective. You have to change who you are, how you see the world. You have to change your reality. Not a trivial thing to do, but you'll never achieve it if you don't start working on it. So even if you think, well, that's too hard, well, that's the only thing that will make you fail is not starting. Right. Everybody who starts and keeps working at it will achieve it. It's not one of these things you can fail at if you keep working on it. Because just the intent to make the change will increase the probability that you will make the change.
All right. You've been listening to News for the Heart. We've been getting to the heart of what matters with Tom Campbell. I'm not sure what we'll call this. Stress, perception, perspective. We'll get there. All right. We'll be back next month. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Lori.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.